On this episode of Skeptico, best-selling author and investigative journalist Jim Mars.
Donald Rumsfeld was quoted on the radio just last week or so, and they asked him about, hey, what about September 11th? What about Building 7? And he said, what is Building 7? I have no idea. I've never heard about that. I just wonder, have we reached a new level in this kind of culture of deception where they don't even care the extent to which you know they're lying?
That's exactly right. And I'm sorry, but I, you know, you can say a lot of things about Donald Rumsfeld, but being a stupid person and an ignorant person just does not even enter into the question. So you cannot tell me that Donald Rumsfeld does not know about the collapse of the Solomon Brothers building, better known as World Trade Center Building 7, which collapsed at 5:20 in the afternoon of September the 11th, 2001. One of the three buildings that dropped into their own foundations after being hit by only two airplanes. But then again, this is the same Donald Rumsfeld who, back during the Reagan administration, was the head of Searle Pharmaceutical, who told his associates that he was going to push through and get the government to approve the use of aspartame, which is a carcinogenic, a really harmful substance that the government up till then had refused to certify through the FDA. So this guy is a consummate, well, I'll just say it, I mean, he's a liar.
Stay with us for Skeptico.
Welcome to Skeptico, where we explore controversial science with leading researchers, thinkers, and their critics. I'm your host, Alex Sakaris, and this episode of Skeptico is going to seem like a departure from the topics we normally talk about. I know that because whenever I've brought up these issues in the past, I get a lot of flack from those of you who like us to stay on the topics of parapsychology and psi and near-death experience, and the issues surrounding consciousness science, which of course is central to my interest and central to this show. But I think if you follow the storyline of this show and where it's gone, you know that the issue of the culture of deception that we find ourselves in, that makes it almost impossible for good science to advance if it doesn't stick to the party line, if it doesn't stick to a particular narrative that's being advanced. Well, if you understand how those forces come into play in science, then you pretty quickly start looking for how those forces come into play in other aspects of our society, of our culture, of our news, of our history. And that's where you'll find today's guest, investigative journalist, best-selling author, Jim Mars. I'm sure some of you are familiar with his work, and if you're not, prepare for quite a ride. Here's my interview with Jim Mars. I'm going to suggest to you that today's guest may have more to contribute to the topics we care most about on Skeptico than most of the scientists, researchers, and other great thinkers we've had an opportunity to talk to. Because today, Jim Mars is an award-winning investigative journalist, best-selling author of such books as Rule by Secrecy, Rise of the Fourth Reich, and his latest, Trillion Dollar Conspiracy. Well, Jim Mars has gone places that few dare to go, and he's done it with a tenacity and a nose for the story that we expect but rarely see from today's journalists. Jim, it's a great pleasure to have you on Skeptico.
Hey, well, thanks a lot. It's my pleasure to be here with you.
So, Jim, as I alluded to in the introduction, a lot of folks who listen to this show might be a little bit surprised that we're talking to someone who's best associated with a category that gets labeled as conspiracy theories. But I think the topics that you've explored in your book, particularly the way that we've been packaged and sold a story to fit someone else's agenda, well, I think that's at the heart of what we talk about here.
Yeah, well, let me say this about conspiracy theory, okay? First off, conspiracy. Conspiracy comes from the Latin word conspirae, which simply means to, literally means to breathe together, and simply means that one or more people or two or more are acting in concert, okay? So it's not necessarily a bad term. It's become a pejorative because it's, you know, the media for so long, oh, it's a conspiracy. Like, conspiracies don't happen. Excuse me, there are people rotting in jail right now who've been convicted of conspiracy. And conspiracy is not necessarily bad. If you and I plan a surprise birthday party for a neighbor, that's a conspiracy. But it's not a bad conspiracy. That's a good conspiracy. So conspiracy in and of itself is neither good nor bad. It's just things that happen. In fact, my motto is, if it's not an act of God, and yes, there are accidents, planes crash and ships sink and automobiles have accidents, but if it's not an act of God, it's a conspiracy. Somebody planned it that way.
Right.
Okay? And that's just the way the world works. Now, then we get to, theory, okay? A theory is a thesis, okay? Perhaps this, and then, in fact, the scientific method is you start off with a hypothesis or a thesis. Perhaps this does this or can be made to do this, and then you test it, and then you duplicate it, and if you find out that time after time the results are the same, then you have proof, and then it's no longer a theory. It becomes a law or a fact. Okay, so if you can prove something, it's no longer a theory. And when I say that Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, was killed as the result of a conspiracy, that there were more than one person involved, that is really no longer a theory. Even the House Committee, Select Committee on Assassinations, a committee of Congress, back in the 1980s, concluded that there was more than one person shooting at Kennedy. Well, excuse me, that's a conspiracy. So there, again, a theory is, and that's not a theory that there was a conspiracy, that's a fact.
Right. That's why I think the real issue behind all this stuff is really about deception. And I think that's at the core of what your books are really about. The conspiracy isn't the interesting part. It's the deception. Because as you keep diving into these topics and even current ones that come up, it seems like we've developed a culture of deception. And I was just going to bring to your attention something that just happened recently, and I hadn't heard any comments you made about it. But, of course, Donald Rumsfeld was quoted on the radio just last week or so. And they asked him about, hey, what about September 11th? What about Building 7? And he said, what is Building 7? I have no idea. I've never heard about that. So, you know what? I just wonder, and I wanted to ask your opinion, have we reached a new level in this kind of culture of deception where they don't kind of even care the extent to which, you know, they're lying? They're just going to throw it out there anyway.
That's exactly right. And I'm sorry, but you can say a lot of things about Donald Rumsfeld, but being a stupid person and an ignorant person just does not even enter into the question. So you cannot tell me that Donald Rumsfeld does not know about the collapse of the Solomon Brothers building, better known as World Trade Center Building 7, which collapsed at 5:20 in the afternoon of September the 11th, 2001. One of the three buildings that dropped into their own foundations after being hit by only two airplanes, okay? And but then again, this is the same Donald Rumsfeld who back during the Reagan administration was the head of Searle Pharmaceutical, who told his associates that he was going to push through and get the government to approve the use of aspartame, which is a carcinogenic, a really harmful substance that the government up till then had refused to certify through the FDA. And now there's just a growing awareness and a growing outcry against the use of aspartame, because aspartame, when it gets into your body, the body heat changes it basically to formaldehyde, and there has been just study after study showing these problems. And this was all done on Donald Rumsfeld's watch. So this guy is a consummate, well, I'll just say it. I mean, he's a liar, okay? And I can prove it. Again, that's not a theory.
Well, he's a go-to guy liar, which I wanted to kind of explore, because I think, you know, in my little world here in exploring science, and 2 years ago or 3 years ago when I started this show, I had the idea that science was maybe different. But what I've come to understand is that there are these guys who are the go-to guy liars, who you can rely on to really push forward the story and can stand in front of the public and just tell these bold-faced lies. How do you think that works?
Well, that works very simply. If you've ever studied debate, there is a number of techniques that you use to argue a point, okay? And of course, one of these is, if you cannot attack the argument of your opponent, then you attack your opponent, okay? Well, he, you know, he's a nut, and he doesn't know what he's talking about, blah, 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 ad hominem attacks, okay? In the case you're talking about, the techniques used is appeal to authority. Oh, well, I'm an authority. I'm a high-ranking person. I am in the leadership, so I wear a suit and tie. So you have to listen to me because I'm the expert. And, you know, there was a time when there were people, scientists, doctors, lawyers, people who were had studied, had degrees, and who did probably know a little bit more than the average guy on the street, and were looked up to as authorities and as experts. But that time has passed. Today, money is the only thing that counts, all right, unfortunately, in our society. And the corporations and the organizations that have deep pockets can hire an expert to stand up in a suit and tie and say anything they want them to say. I guess a classic example of this is, for the past 10 years or more, we have been harangued through the media by a variety of experts who have told us that the world is warming up. We're suffering from global warming, and it's all due to CO2 emissions. And so, therefore, if Congress is now even passing laws that are going to put a carbon tax, they're going to come around and find out if you're using too much electricity and too much heat in your home, and they're going to charge you for it. And yet, as it's now becoming clear, all this is unraveling. The scientists and some of the people and organizations that were touting this great global warming are now coming into disrepute because it's found that they have jiggled the numbers, they have fudged their statistics, they have left out contradicting data, and the key thing is that what we now know is that the polar ice caps on Mars are diminishing, they're melting, the ice on some of the moons of Jupiter, it's melting. The outer planets are becoming more luminescent, which means they're heating up, which means that whatever's going on, if there is a warming, it's solar system-wide. It's not because of our SUVs. And besides that, we've had some of the coldest weather on record.
Right. And, of course, anyone would point to you and say there can be seasonal or even small fluctuations over year to year. But, you know, that whole debate has to be pulled apart so many different ways. We can't do it justice on this show. But one, is there global warming? Two, is it caused by human activity? And three, to what extent is it caused by human activity? And then four, is there anything we could do to really make a difference? And of course, all those points get rolled into one, but I'm not even going to go there because I want to stay on this topic of deception.
My only point is that this is now turning into a genuine controversy, and the reason that it's turning into a controversy is because for so long we listened to hired experts.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And that gets back to disinformation, misinformation, and exactly what you were talking about. Just the obfuscation of the truth.
Right. And so, you know, in this deception and the way you pull this apart in your many books and the many areas that you've been brave enough to go into, and there's no other way to talk about it because I want to get into that a little bit. You know, the price, let's get into it right now, because I have to imagine that there was a point in your career when, as a journalist, as a writer, where you got halfway into this story and you said, man, what am I going to do here? Because I know if I go off reservation on this and I go further than is allowed, that, you know, this isn't going to fly. How did that play out for you?
Well, that's true. I can still vividly recall back in the early 70s being cornered in a hallway of the newspaper that I was working for by an editor who said, I want you to stop writing about nuclear power. And I said, well, why? And he stuttered around and he said, well, because you know too much about it. So, you know, yes, I have definitely felt the hand of the gatekeepers who do not want relevant information out. But then you have to understand that all of the media, whether it's radio, TV, newspapers, magazines, they are all fearful. They're all fearful. And they're fearful of losing advertisers. And they're fearful of government interference or intervention, particularly broadcast, which is totally dependent upon the Federal Communications Commission to validate their licenses, which keeps them on the air. And this is tremendous control. In fact, even all of the years that I've put in and all the experiences I've had, I am still just absolutely shocked and amazed to realize how tightly controlled our corporate mass media truly is. And let me explain one key thing. It's not always control over the individual reporter or editor or producer. They can't control all those people, but they can control the distribution of the information. There are stories happening daily all around this country that are incredible stories that probably any thoughtful, knowledgeable person needs to be aware of, and yet they're not, because those stories don't get reported in any place other than outside the particular city or community where they happen. That is control of the distribution of the news.
Right. Right. Even, I mean, it goes even further, right, as you've chronicled and others have chronicled. Hey, the difference between being on the front page and being on page 13, section B, is everything.
Right, exactly. And it runs one time, and that's it. You know, I used to work in advertising public relations, and the rule of thumb was, you know, reach and frequency. You have to reach the public with a message, and as widespread as possible, that's the reach. And then frequency. You have to give them that message at least five times before it finally sinks into their consciousness. And so if you have one story and it appears one time, that's not enough frequency for the public to actually absorb that and remember that story. This is why certain things, well, without getting back into it, global warming, we are just hammered with global warming stories day after day after day until it's just accepted as a mantra, you know, global warming.
Yeah.
And yet when there's a contrary story, it hits once, it may be in one publication, and it goes away. That's a very unfair debate.
Well, in it, as you alluded to, it's not meant to be a debate. It's meant to be dissemination of information. But, you know, the other part of this that you also touched on that I find fascinating and I've run into as well, and I call it the deception of, you know, go along to get along. And I think it crops up everywhere, and not just in the obvious cases where someone says, hey, I'm not going to go as far as Jim Mars. I'm never going to write a book called Alien Agenda. I don't care if it landed on my front lawn. I wouldn't write that book. But the way it plays out in a more subtle way, and I don't know if you want to comment on this or not, but, you know, Leslie Keene, a very respected journalist, wrote a great book, UFOs, Generals, Plots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. And this book, as you know, just got a great play and a great run. But embedded in the story, to me, was this kind of a little bit of go-along to get-along. You know, it's underselling the story. It's packaging in a certain way of, oh my gosh, there's a mystery here. We ought to investigate it. And to me, it's just kind of bearing the lead, which is, well, we've known about this for a long time. We've investigated it in exactly the way that we wanted to. And just because we found a couple of outliers who are willing to go on the record isn't the larger story of how we've managed to kind of keep it under wraps for as long as we have.
Well, Alex, you got to understand that what you're talking about in a general sense is can be boiled down to the term status quo. Most people, including well-intentioned and honest people, are loath to shake up the status quo because it makes everybody uncomfortable. And yet, I would simply ask you and your listeners to stop and look around and look what's happening in the world today. Look what's happening in our country today. Look at the radiation that's now being swept across this country by these plants over at Fukushima. Look at the dead Gulf of Mexico, which is still leaking oil down there, but they're not telling us about it. And do we really like this status quo? Is it really satisfying our needs? Is it really making us a better people? And are we all happy and contented and prosperous? I submit to you, no. So we need to shake up the status quo. And I've been doing that, I guess, my whole career. And Alex, I'll tell you, I think that comes back to the fact that when I was in college and on a degree plan for journalism, that was back in the days of the old Republic, and I was actually taught that I was supposed to be trying to find out the truth right. And report the truth to the public, you know. And fool that I was, I bought into it. I thought that's what I was supposed to be doing. And so I've been trying to do that my whole career. But it's an uphill fight because you not only have to fight politicians and corporate leaders who don't want you to know the truth, but then you have to fight your own editors. Well, how do you know that? Can you prove that? Have you got three other sources? You know, they're fearful, and they don't want to shape up the status quo, so they'll fight you. And then the thing I was really unprepared for was the number of people out in the public who have actually told me to my face, hey, I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me about that.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Well, you know, that's so fascinating, that last part. One of the things we've investigated, because to me, it's the biggest issue in science, is who are we really? What happens to us after we die? So there's a whole bunch of science that suggests very strongly that our consciousness, in some way we don't understand, survives our bodily death. Okay, so then you could get into heaven and all that stuff. I don't want to go there. What I want to do is pull it back to a point of you can present that evidence. You can present that scientific data, and you'll get people to say, I don't want to live in a world where I have to consider that. That's so outside of my comfort zone that I don't want to go there. And I think that's so much of the time what really is holding people back, what allows people to listen to Donald Rumsfeld in an obvious lie and then just say, well, what was the score of the game last night? You know, let me skip over that and just get on with my life because I don't want to upset it that much.
Well, I think that the big problem is there's a lack of real journalists today. I keep up with the journalist publications from the Society of Professional Journalists, and it seems like all they want to talk about is ethnicity, diversity in the newsroom, reaching more people, but there's very little, precious little talk about, let's find out the truth of what's going on and tell people.
The last point that I wanted to dig into, and it's a huge one, so I don't know how far we'll be able to get into it, but you mentioned the two-word status quo explanation for a lot of what's going on in the deception area. the other area, the other two-word combination I'd use is greater good. You know, what we're sold is, for the greater good, you need to be lied to. How are we sold this greater good argument, and why do we buy into it?
Well, I don't buy into it very much because I just happen to be a truthful person. I found in my own personal life that, you know, if I ever try to tell a lie, then you end up telling another lie to cover for that lie, and then you have to tell another lie to cover up for those lies, and pretty soon you're just on a house made out of cards, you know, and one of the cards gets pulled away, the whole thing comes down, and your credibility's gone, and, you know, forget it. It's like I've said quite often, if the federal government of the United States was an individual, none of us would have anything to do with him, okay? Because he's a proven liar, okay? Now, I'm a very forgiving person, so you lie to me one time, I can go, well, gee, I guess he was just mistaken, or maybe he truly believed that, but even though it's not true. If you lie to me twice, I begin to raise my eyebrows, and I go, now, wait a minute. You lie to me three times, it's like, man, that's it. I don't have anything to do with you because you're just a proven liar. And the federal government, as an entity, has lied, lied, lied. I mean, you can go back to light at the end of the tunnel in Vietnam. Read my lips, no new taxes, I am not a crook. I mean, they just lie to you, right? You know, and what kills me, Alex, is it seems to me that so many politicians will just lie to you as a matter of course, even when they probably could have told you the truth and it wouldn't have made any big difference.
Yeah, that's the really scary part. But let's take the other side of that. Are they lying for a good reason? Are they lying for the reason that we just said a minute ago, which is that, you know what? People don't really want to hear the truth, even if they say they want to hear the truth. You know, there's this guy, and I don't know if you've heard of him, but I'd love to hear you comment on his book. He's a very well-known financial guy, has predicted the market terms, manages billions of dollars. His name is Damon Vickers. Here's the title of his book: The Day After the Dollar Crashes, A Survival Guide for the Rise of the New World Order. Now, this guy, I'm telling you, he's a for real guy. He manages a lot of money. And if you listen to what he has to say, he's real straightforward. He takes the issues that you talk about in The Trillion Dollar Conspiracy, your latest book, and he's real upfront. He says, yeah, we're bankrupt, and we're going to have a new world order to set everything right.
Exactly. I don't think anybody would argue that's the facts of the situation. That is exactly what's happening. The place where a lot of people still question me is that this is not just happenstance, and it's not just let's not tell the truth for the better good. This is a plan, folks. This is a plan that's being worked to basically destroy this country as a democratic republic. Okay, and this is a plan that's been set into effect for many, many years because the wealthy oligarchs that are trying to run this world, they don't think in terms of next week's paycheck or even next month's paycheck. They're looking years ahead, and they're laying the groundwork for their new world order.
Let me play the Damon Vickers side of that argument, if I could, and I can't do him justice, but it's like, you know what, Jim? You're a competent guy. You're a hardworking guy, but most people aren't. And even if you accept that there's a lot of hardworking, good people in the United States, if we look around the world, it's a mess. You go to Haiti, you got a huge population problem. They're one of the fastest growing countries in this hemisphere, and yet they're the poorest and they're the most dysfunctional. So I'm Damon Vickers. I say we need a new world order. We need population control. All the things you say are the motivations behind this in the smoky rooms in the back. Yeah, they're the motivations. But the reason is because you guys can't do it. You can't handle it. You can't face up to doing what you really have to do. So for the greater good, yeah, we're just going to manage things because, hey, that's what needs to get done.
Well, that's true, and the politicians totally understand this, and this is why it's the old joke about how you can tell if a politician is lying to you.
Yeah.
His mouth is moving,
right.
Okay?
Right.
Now, that sounds like a joke, and yet, unfortunately, it's very true, and the reason for that is that no one, apparently, can get elected to office in this country by telling the truth.
Absolutely.
So then we have to ask, well, then who's to blame? The politician who lies to us? or the population that only wants to hear lies.
That puts us in a pretty sorry state in terms of having any chance of turning this around. Jim, what's coming up for you in terms of appearances in the near future?
Well, actually, I'm kind of going to go on hiatus here, trying to come up with a new book, trying to bring everything forward a little bit. Right now, the only thing I have coming up is Whitley Strieber's Dreamland Festival in Nashville, Tennessee at the end of June. That's always been quite a successful event every year, and this year looks like it's going to be just bigger and better than ever. So I would recommend anyone that's in the Nashville area or can get to the Nashville area, you might want to check out the Dreamland Conference or Dreamland Festival.
Great. And of course, we'll look for you on your numerous TV and radio appearances. It's always good to catch up with what's going on in your world. You have so many great angles on the recent events, and you've shared some of them with us today. Jim, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Alex. It's been a pleasure to be with you. Good day.
Thanks again to Jim Mars for joining me today on Skeptico. If you'd like more information about this show or any of our previous shows, please check out the Skeptico website. It's at skeptiko.com. You'll also find there a link to our forum where you can chat with other people about this episode or any of the other topics we've covered here. And you'll also find an email, Facebook link to me, and even a comment section where you can directly write a note on this show if you don't want to go into the forum. So a lot there to check out. Let us know what you think. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, bye for now.